You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Society.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning. Happy hump day. Broncos country, I hope your morning trek to work is treating you very, very nicely. We got a new Locked On Broncos podcast episode for you right here, right now. Today, over here, your daily bite-sized podcast covering the Denver Broncos, bringing you the best insight and coverage of all things orange and blue related over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos in the National Football League, as well as a columnist over at the Fansided Networks, predominantlyorange.com. Huge show in store for you guys today, and like always, I want to welcome in my co-host, Cameron Parker. Cameron, how's it going, my man?
Going well. You know, it's Wednesday. You're just a few more days before you get to the weekend. You know, the mind is sort of thinking about the weekend, and you know, you gotta be honest. It seems like the Denver Broncos are making some strong moves.
Yeah, they really are. Building for the future. That's the key emphasis. No rebuild. I'm sure we talked about that so many times, but a lot in store on today's episode of Locked On Broncos. Segment number one, we're going to do a daily Broncos rundown, talking about some coaching hires where the Broncos have filled some of their vacant positions. Segment number two, I want to kind of talk about the relationship a little bit more in depth between the 49ers and the Denver Broncos. And then segment three, I want to talk about the speculation. I mean, this is all just talk, but the possibility, because of that relationship that these two organizations have with one another, the ties, the roots that have seemed to become intertwined year in and year out, I feel as if we should talk about maybe the possibility of the Broncos moving up to the number two pick in the draft, maybe swapping picks with the 49ers. We'll talk about that in segment number three. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by our good friends over there at MyBookie. Very good. Very excited about that. But, you know, let's kind of get into things real quick here. You know, I think that the Broncos, with some of these moves that they've made, look, I mean, we've talked and we've raved about the coaching staff all offseason so far since Vance Joseph was fired and the new staff has been assembled. I mean, I think there's been a lot of praise, but, you know, like I said, we are all approaching this with a grain of salt. Like, the excitement is absolutely real in terms of when you look at these coaching decisions on paper. That the excitement is there. We still have to see how the on-field product is, which I think we kind of have to talk about our expectations, really, for this coaching staff. Now, let me ask you the question, Cameron, and I'll share mine. I look at this Broncos team. I look at the moves that they've made this offseason, the coaching staff. I think they have the right people in place. They have some veterans around the National Football. I mean, Mike Munchak and Vic Fangio. So much experience, over 60-plus years coaching experience if you combine the two together. That right there is really important. A very good staff. You combine Ed Donatell, you know, Rich Scangarello. Not really more so like a deep, deep NFL coaching guy. He's been coaching for over 17-plus years total, and from collegiate to the pro level. There's a lot of experience at these positions that the Broncos have brought in coaches, and they added to that. But really, is your expectation, I mean, I'm going into the 2019 season optimistic, but my main thing is that I am not going to be disappointed even if the Broncos have a struggling year this year. I'm not going to be disappointed or let down necessarily, because I feel as if the Broncos are going to come in and change this culture that was set by the last 2 years from that coaching staff that was prior to this one, I firmly believe it could take a year. It could take 2 years. I'm going to be patient with this. What about you?
You know, I think that, you know, for me, it's been sort of a whirlwind, because there's just a combination of emotions, you know, when I do a compare and contrast, and, you know, and I look at necessarily the staff that was recently constructed. Now, granted, you know, Vance Joseph, when he did the whole construction of his particular staff, and when John Elway and he all got together, there was this, you know, plan in place to where, you know, we had, I believe it was Carl on, and he mentioned that Vance Joseph made the idea that he wanted to have two offensive line coaches. That turned out to be pretty beneficial. Now, before the season began, let's say the first season, back when it was Mike McCoy and Bill Musgrave, at least on paper, it all sounded nice. You know, we brought Mike McCoy back. You know, we brought back Bill Musgrave, who has a lot of rapport, you know, with the solid season that was Derek Carr. But unfortunately, that spiraled a little bit out of control. And really, the only positives that gleaned from that were guys like Zach Azani and Kurt Modkins, and bringing in Tom McMahon, and guys that theoretically have been retained. You go in, fast forward now to a new potential staff. You know, the biggest difference that I think that, you know, you look at this staff that's now being constructed. Yes, Vic Fangio is coming into being his first year head coach. However, there is a plethora of coaching experience all throughout the board, whether it is Ed Donatell or Mike Munchak, a Hall of Fame player, but also and not just well-regarded in the offensive line ranks, but also the top offensive line head coach. So the fact is, the Broncos are sort of expediting a rebuild process with their coaching staff as well, even though they've hired a lot of guys with, or they hired Fangio with a first-year head coaching experience, and then they bring in Rick Scangarello for offensive coordinator, and then as well as obviously with this quarterback coach that's now being brought in. Name is a scab, TC McCartney, you know, one of the more fascinating, you know, stories just as far as Colorado sports is concerned. A McCartney name is back in the coaching ranks in Colorado sports. So certainly a lot of praise there. But yeah, I mean, overall, though, you have to be pleased with just how quickly the Denver Broncos were putting together this staff and how impressive it is.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think a lot of people can be cautiously optimistic, and we're all approaching this here with a grain of salt. We're not going to get too excited, but these moves do give you a sense of optimism. You know, if you're looking at it from a standpoint, if you're a player, you're excited. I mean, the players have talked about it. Chris Harris, Von Miller, a breath of fresh air in terms of this coaching staff is a good thing for the organization, because it almost seemed as if the culture that was for the last 2 years was losing some very key Broncos players' interest in coming back. I mean, Derek Wolfe was very vocal about what's been bothering the organization, you know, where they're struggling in terms of play. Chris Harris, very outspoken in the media about, you know, we're doing the same thing. Teams know what we're doing. I mean, it's not like we're even trying to disguise anything. That was a big thing, and people are like, oh, he's just disgruntled. No, I mean, he's calling it out for what it was. So I think the important thing with that is when we analyze a culture, I think it can take time. You can experience some different things, part of a culture shock. You're going to have one or two things. You're going to have some resistance from some players. I don't think that's going to be the case in this scenario, because last year, the last 2 years, the culture was pretty shaky from an outsider's perspective. You look at it with no interest, no ties to the Broncos organization. You watch the on-field product. You're like, something just doesn't seem right with this team. And a lot of that, I think, equates to player-coach relationship. Now, it's evident with Curtis Modkins and Zach Azani and Tom McMahon, guys that are returning from the last year's regime. It is evident they've built strong relationships. They put a strong emphasis on technique fundamentals. That's why they're back. And that's something that excites me as well. But part of our daily Broncos rundown here, you know, we got to announce some coaching moves. TC McCartney hired as the quarterbacks coach formerly of the San Francisco 49ers. That those ties continue to happen. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in depth coming up here in a second with segment number two. But another coaching staff hire for defensive quality control is Nathaniel Willingham. Now, he spent the last 4 years as a coach for the Stanford Cardinals at the college football level. He's going to come in and serve as a defensive quality control coach for Ed Donatell, Vic Fangio, and this Broncos defense. And you got to wonder, what is a quality control coach? That's an interesting question, because we were talking about the other day, what the heck is a passing game coordinator? So quality control means that the structure of practices, the structure of individual drills for the defensive side of the ball, the tempo, the urgency, the emphasis, the message, the structure of the organization really does come onto the quality control coach, because keywords in there, quality control. You don't want to spend too much time harping on certain things. You want to spend the right amount of time allocating your resources, what you plan to do with the players in practice, game plan, so on and so forth. You don't want to beat a dead horse. You want to be able to be diverse and good in a lot of areas with there. So defensive quality control coach for Coach Willingham, that's going to be a huge, huge thing for this Broncos team, and we'll find out more about Coach Willingham as we progress. But we're going to get into segment number two coming up in just a second. We're going to talk about the McCartney hire as a quarterbacks coach for the Broncos a little bit more in depth. And we're going to take a look at the ties, the relationship between John Lynch and John Elway, the Broncos and the 49ers. But before we get to that, today's episode is brought to you by our good friends over there at MyBookie. The Super Bowl is just days away. We're just around the corner, and you can make some money today with MyBookie. If you go over to MyBookie right now and you'd make a deposit, you create an account, you make a deposit, be sure to use promo code LOCKEDON25. They will automatically match you dollar for dollar when you make a deposit if you use promo code LOCKEDON25. You want to make a bet, you want to make some money off of the Super Bowl this week, you want to bet that Tony Romo is going to call the game-winning play, or he's going to call out what the defense is in, guess what? You could bet on that over at MyBookie. I'm not sure if you can actually bet on that, but you know what? That's the talk of the town. Tony Romo is going to be calling the Super Bowl this week in here with Jim Nantz. So it's going to be a fun thing to watch over here. But guess what? You can sit on the couch during Super Bowl Sunday. You can watch the commercials. You can also stay tuned into the game, and you can make some money on it. If your team is out, you really don't have any dog in the fight. So bet on it with MyBookie. If you're confident in Tom Brady's chance to win another Super Bowl, you could put your money on the Patriots with MyBookie. If you think Sean McVay is going to be the youngest head coach in NFL history to win a Super Bowl, you can now bet on that by how the Rams play in Sunday's matchup with MyBookie. Once again, visit MyBookie online today and use promo code LOCKEDON25 to get in the game and win money today. Go big or go home. I feel as if in the NFL, Cam, we're consistently talking about the ties that bind us all. And when I look at this Broncos organization, I think it was evident the moment that John Lynch became the general manager for the San Francisco 49ers, there might be a little bit of some ties that bind us here. And certainly we've been proven right in that fact that the Broncos and the 49ers, they've held joint practices together going back to 2016, where, you know, they went to Santa Clara and they practiced alongside with the 49ers there. I think that we have to talk about these ties. Obviously, Rich Scangarello, the new offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, ties to the San Francisco 49ers organization. Now you bring in T.C. McCartney, who served as the quarterback's coach under there with Kyle Shanahan, with Rich Scangarello, and he was very instrumental. He talked about it, I believe, last week about Scangarello's ability to identify talent within quarterbacks and work on what is effective with quarterbacks, essentially. And so those two, Scangarello and McCartney, you know they collaborated quite a bit, because we saw Nick Mullins really step into a big role. Really, nobody knew who he was. Thursday Night Football rolls around. It's the Raiders versus the 49ers. And all of a sudden, this Nick Mullins guy is carving up the Raiders defense, which, granted, is one of the worst defenses in the National Football League this year. But we also saw Nick Mullins under Rich Scangarello and the coaching of T.C. McCartney carve up this Broncos defense big time with the tight end play. And we just talked about the other day, Cam, we talked about it. The Broncos have to get their tight ends more involved in the passing offense. So when you take a look at this move right here, I believe we're seeing a little bit of progress on paper in terms of philosophy, that the Broncos are going to be looking more aggressive and taking shots downfield, stretching the middle of the field, and getting the tight end involved. And I think a lot of it starts with analyzing what is Case Keenum good at. Obviously, we all know Case Keenum is better on the run, being mobile, throwing the ball, than he is dropping back on a five-step drop under center or in shotgun and then taking a three-step drop after that. He's better when he's rolling out, throwing the ball. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, for Case Keenum's sake, I mean, he's clearly proven to be a much better quarterback when it comes to play action and creating opportunities for himself out in the open and for others as far as wide receivers, tight ends. So the Broncos have to be creative in how they use the type of offense that they want to go to. And I feel like the Rick Scangarello, you know, type of offense that could potentially be there for the Broncos, you know, I think that this could be a really good step in the right direction. You know, obviously it was, you know, talking with Carl, who's been on our show before, and he mentioned that, you know, Scangarello has obviously the Shanahan tree, but also he's, you know, been some grooming, obviously, with the Boise State offense a little bit. And obviously, to even continue that, you know, there's that opportunity where we could look at some scary mismatch opportunities with both Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay on the football field. So the fact that the Denver Broncos have, despite how bad it may have potentially looked, win-loss record-wise, you and I both agree the Denver Broncos have a much better roster on this team than 5-11s, and they have a much better player personnel than 5-11. So it's going to be up to Rick Scangarello and and the QB coach, T.C. McCartney, to sort of formulate a really solid game plan for Case Keenum and potentially a new quarterback if the Broncos decide to bring one in. And whether it is a first-round draft pick, second-round draft pick, third and beyond, you know, the expectation is the Broncos will bring in the or at least another quarterback to challenge Case Keenum.
The Broncos have to bring in another quarterback to challenge Case Keenum a little bit. And I think really, Cameron, and determination, because there's a lot of talk about Drew Lock, another key word for Locked On Broncos, but there's talk around the NFL that the Broncos still may bring in a quarterback through free agency. I mean, we've heard that plan B essentially is Joe Flacco or Nick Foles. So the question is, you roll with Case Keenum another year, you bring in a young quarterback. I don't know if you can wait. Like I said, we've talked about this with fans. I don't think you can wait till 2020 to draft a quarterback. I think you have to go with the quarterback this year, which is going to lead us to our next discussion, depending on who the Broncos are really high on. Because there's some rumors there that a certain quarterback could go number one, or a certain quarterback, depending on if they want to trade, you know, if they trade a pick away. Dwayne Haskins is rumored to be the first quarterback off the board. You know, right now Arizona holds the number one pick in the NFL draft. There's been some rumors going around that, you know, they may be willing to trade that pick. Not necessarily, I think, for Denver to move up to number one. I doubt that. I think Denver would have to give up too much, but because of the relationship ties with the 49ers, that's something we're going to investigate here coming up in segment number three. But I think it's important to note that the Broncos are looking at a game plan to bring in guys with familiarity. We talked about it. So Rich Scangarello bringing in T.C. McCartney, who has familiarity with the 49ers, also bringing in an assistant coach, Rob Calabrese, to be an offensive assistant to assist with McCartney and Scangarello. He was the running backs coach with Rich Scangarello at Wagner, and then when Scangarello left, he replaced him as the offensive coordinator, according to Nine News' Mike Kliss on that. So the Broncos, their staff is pretty much finalizing. I believe he will be the offensive quality control assistant, kind of similar to what we just read with the defensive quality control assistant coach. So that's obviously something we're going to take a look at a little bit further as we go. I mean, that's the thing. When we talk about familiarity, I think that's something that we talked about. We talked about with ties that bind us, familiarity. That's kind of been our whole theme for this segment here. The Broncos are bringing in guys that aren't different, you know, they're similar because they know the styles that they're working with. There's some familiarity. They've worked together, so there's chemistry. So that right there, with that chemistry set as coaches, you avoid potential scenarios where a clashing of the minds might happen. Because in coaching, you know, there's going to be times where you have different opinions than some of your other coaches that you coach with. In this sense, if you have no familiarity, if you have no prior relationships, those types of differences can divide you as a coaching staff. Now, I think with the guys in place, I think the leadership is there. I think Fangio, Munchak, you know, John Elway leading the organization as a general manager, I don't think you're going to see that. However, we saw that in 2017, 2016, the Broncos coaching staff, there just seems something off there. There seemed like to be, there was a difference of ideas. I don't get that sense right here as the Broncos look to return back to glory here in 2019. So
can I ask you something, Cody, just real quick? You know, and I was talking about this with Andrew. Is it possible that the hires of Vic Fangio and, you know, all the moves that have happened ever since then, is it possible, because I get the sense on this, but is it possible that just these hires are an indictment on the previous coaching staff? And not just that, but maybe that John Elway did miss out on Kyle Shanahan.
I think that's an interesting point. Now, we all know, you know, with the Woody Page report that came out, that, you know, maybe there is this digression here with the Shanahans in terms of Joe Ellis, so on and so forth. And then we saw, obviously, with John Bullen's social media pages that, you know, he was pretty much pounding the table, you know, and he has no power. I mean, he has no power at all with the Broncos organization, but you could tell that the Shanahans, for some reason, according to John Bolin, were the people that he wanted to have around the Broncos. And I don't know about that whole situation. I literally take anything that has to do with John Bolin with a grain of, you know, a sand. I don't take much substance to it. But I do think that some of these moves, I mean, we're becoming the Shanahan system. You know, this is becoming the Denver Shanahans with stealing some of the coaches from Kyle Shanahan's regime. And I don't know exactly if that's what it is, but I think that people can really maybe equate the two things, put them together as, you know, this might be something that does make sense. So it's something I'm not completely sold on, but I think it's an interesting point because the Broncos did have a chance to have Kyle Shanahan, and it didn't work out. It wasn't something that was really discussed, and based on the Woody Page article, it seemed like something that wasn't going to happen. So, but I think we should talk about, Cam, the relationship between the 49ers and the Denver Broncos. It is clearly evident as day that these two teams come together for a lot of discussions. I believe John Lynch and John Elway, anytime they're gauging trade interest for something, I guarantee you they are the first people that pick up the phone and call the other respective person. I believe that's the case. I mean, we used to see that with John Elway and the Houston Texans general manager. You know, that's why obviously I believe it was I can't remember his name. He was a tackle that the Broncos had traded over to Houston, not Ryan Harris. I believe it was Chris Clark. It was Chris Clark that the Broncos had traded from the Broncos over to the Texans, and they had a pretty good relationship down there between general manager to general manager. I think we're seeing that here with John Elway and John Lynch, evident ties there between the two organizations. So the question here, because we're almost running out of time, the question I want to pose to you is, do you see a potential scenario? I think this is going to be very talked about too. Because of this relationship, because of how active these two teams have been with one another in terms of their ties, is there a scenario where you see the Broncos and the 49ers swapping picks from 2 to 10 and maybe throwing an extra player in there, maybe a conditional pick, maybe giving them the 10th pick in the draft and maybe a third round pick? I mean, what kind of scenario do you see with this being a possibility? If the Broncos really like a guy and the rumor has to be at quarterback, do you see that happening? Because Drew Lock, his stock is rising.
I mean, for starters, you don't make a move like that if you don't have a guy in mind. I mean, that's for starters. And, you know, the second thing is, because there is this previous relationship with the Denver Broncos, then absolutely, that means a lot. Because, I mean, think about it. I mean, if you look at just the overall staff, as we had originally discussed, grabbing one guy from a previous staff is one thing. But grabbing another, you know, and grabbing another guy, that just sort of speaks to the volume, in essence, of the chemistry that really is there with the 49ers. And then you think back to even previous years with the joint practices with the San Francisco 49ers. So the fact is, that type of chemistry goes even further, obviously, with those joint practices. So I'm sure those conversations will end up being had. Now, the question will be, if the Denver Broncos do make that trade, why not go get a Dwayne Haskins instead? Now, I know that, you know, obviously there's so much smoke with Drew Lock, and I think it's very warranted. I think it's very warranted. But it does seem like, you know, if the Denver Broncos decide to make that particular move, they have their guy in mind, and they will do anything by any means necessary to get his guy. And I feel that type of way. You know, if you feel like you want to get your quarterback, whether you wait till 2020, I mean, I personally wouldn't do that. But if you feel like you want to wait till 2020, but you also feel very comfortable about getting a franchise quarterback, then absolutely, you should go get your guy. Now, the other underrated part of this, the 49ers coached the Senior Bowl. I mean, that's a very underrated part of this, even with Drew Lock. And then you grab T.C. McCartney after they just had the Senior Bowl. I mean, so when there's smoke, there's fire. And with Drew Lock, we might be able to lock that one down, maybe, as far as a very, very hot, maybe credible rumor.
Well, my only concern here, too, and I get it, because it's coaching staffs. You know, Drew Lock was with John Gruden's coaching staff, so the other coaching staff really doesn't have that access to those guys. I know they scout them probably during the game, but, you know, there might be something there with that. You know, but there also might be something else. You know, the Broncos are going to get some good inside information from some of the quarterbacks that were on the 49ers coaching staff. You know, you could take a look at those guys and factor that in, that John Elway is probably going to have a more in-depth conversation with T.C. McCartney. And that might be one of the selling points in terms of bringing him in is, you know, the Broncos were also not only just looking at Drew Lock, but they're looking at several other quarterback prospects. But it's going to be an interesting question. We posed it over there on our Twitter feed today. The Locked On Broncos listeners, whether or not the Broncos should maybe take a look at moving up to the number two spot by swapping picks with the 49ers. And maybe you might have to throw something in there. Like I said, maybe another pick, but I think that question remains to be seen. Do the Broncos for sure have their guy? We won't really know what the Broncos' game plan might be until we see what they decide to do in free agency, addressing some major areas of need in terms of cornerback depth. It could be linebacker depth. You know, CJ Mosley's our free agent wish list, at least mine. I know you were talking about Jadeveon Clowney being one of your dreams that you have.
No, he's
in terms of free agency.
I was going to say, CJ Mosley's on my list. I did a top five list over at Predominantly Orange. CJ Mosley's on my list.
But Jadeveon Clowney's number one, I'm guessing.
No,
right?
No, I save the best for last. But and to do a little spoiler, my top five is Landon Collins, C.J. Mosley, Teddy Bridgewater, because this is go big or go home, right? You know, go big or go home.
Hey, I like it.
So you do Teddy Bridgewater, and then you obviously have Juwan James. That's the interesting one that people might want to keep an eye on, because Chris Cooper was the original offensive assistant line coach down there, and obviously there's been a lot of rumors attached to the Broncos and Juwan James with right tackle.
Yeah, from last year, I believe, too.
From last year. And then obviously Jadeveon Clowney is my big home run swing that could potentially very strongly result in a strikeout.
Yeah, I was going to say that contract, though, the amount of money he's probably going to want, probably is not in the market where Denver wants to pay for a defensive end, especially with how well Shelby Harris has played and maybe getting a little bit more run, maybe bouncing out a little bit. Derek Wolfe, maybe restructuring and staying with the Broncos. I mean, there's all these different things. Adam Gotsis, the way he played in 2018. I think the Broncos have some good plans for that defense. I'm excited to see, but that's all speculation. We'll talk about it again. We'll dive a little bit more in depth to maybe some of our hopes. We're going to take a look next week at kind of what we learned from the 2018 season. Obviously, the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. The NFL honors on Saturday. We'll find out if Pat Bowlen, Champ Bailey, John Lynch, et cetera, if they will be finalists, pretty much the main guys going into the Hall of Fame. That's our hope, that the Broncos can at least two guys in, whether it be Champ Bailey, Pat Bowlen. That's the hope. We'll find out on Saturday, the NFL honors. And tomorrow's episode, we're going to go through our Super Bowl picks right here, Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, speaking for my co-host, Cameron Parker. We'll see you tomorrow for another episode of the show.